Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Sunday, January 31st. It has been about a week since we last recorded. I think 6 days.
6 days.
Yeah, so we got definitely a lot of games to get into. Some very good games. I actually think this past Saturday, I think it was maybe the best day of college basketball so far this year.
I think there have been a lot of potential good days that have gotten good games postponed, so that also
That's a fair point, but just a lot of upsets. But before we get right into the recap, Wesley, I know you wanted to shout out our social media.
Yeah, so obviously follow our Instagram, Twitter, Made in March _ between each word, but we have a kind of little special thing we're going to be doing on our social media from now on, and it's related to sports betting. So we've kind of, this year, we weren't into the sports betting scene last year. We've kind of taken a step forward into like taking a look at the lines for upcoming games and giving us our advice on these lines and who to pick and if they're going to cover or not. So we're going to do about a couple times a week, a few times a week.
Yeah, probably like three times a week or something.
Three times a week or so. So when there's good slates of games, obviously, there's got to be more than like two good games.
Yeah,
obviously.
So a few times a week, we'll give out like our own parlay that we created. Yes. Like maybe five lines that we just absolutely love so that you guys can, you know, bet on sports. Always bet responsibly, by the way. Don't bet money you can't lose. Just to give you guys an edge in that department. Alex, I know you've been getting deep into the sports betting scene lately.
Alex and Luke both, too, off camera.
So, yeah, we'll be giving you guys some of our picks against the spread and then total points over under, just the main ones for college basketball when there's a lot of games played. Hopefully, we can help you guys win some money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there'll be more in, like, the bigger games, I could say. So, like,
I don't know.
We could get some mid-major ones.
You see a good line on an underrated game. I'm gonna,
because Made in March is mid-major knowledge is the best.
Best in the biz.
All right, so we'll start getting into the recap. We'll start on Tuesday, January 26th. The first big game we had, Oklahoma goes on the road and takes down Texas.
Kind of continuing their hot streak.
Yeah, Sooners most been definitely. Playing a really good ball lately.
And this was, you know, I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I got a lot of picks right last episode, and this was the first of that. I picked Oklahoma to win outright. And the reason is because for a few weeks now, I've been really beating the drum of Austin Reeves. I think he deserves more hype than he gets. Mm-hmm. What was his line in that game? Do you guys have that?
23 points, 7 to 15 from the field.
Okay, so not even like the most efficient, but
23 will do it.
When he's got the ball in his hands, he's pretty electric.
Yeah, he's very electric.
And he's the key for Oklahoma, obviously. He's their best player. Texas was without Courtney Ramey, which was a pretty big loss for them. But Oklahoma did play better.
Yeah. Also, Texas. Something to note about Oklahoma. Have you guys noticed that Brady Manek, not only is he coming off the bench, but he's getting, like, no minutes.
He doesn't play a lot.
He played in their most recent game.
He did play in their most recent game, and he was very clutch in that game. But the reason, I think, is because he had COVID, and I forgot who the guy that played really well in his replacement was.
Okay, I actually didn't know that he had COVID, so that might have played
COVID
into it a lot.
It was like he was out for a week and a half or something like that. So the guy that took his spot played incredible and retained the starting spot when he came back, and he was like, Brady Manek was like the sixth or seventh man off the bench. He's working back up and getting more minutes. But I'd say from now on, he's probably going to be in during clutch time because he's kind of their score other than.
But regardless,
great
win for Oklahoma.
Great win.
They are on a hot streak right now.
They are cooking, and we'll get to another game down the line here. But they're, I mean, dating back to like a week or two ago, if you look at like their upcoming schedule from that point forward, it was like daunting as all get out.
They've been on an absolute roll, and another team on a tear. Alabama continues their win streak. They beat Kentucky by 11 points. It was closer than the final score. Kentucky was only down a few within the final minute, and then Bama made their throws. Kentucky didn't make
any
shots.
At the end of the day, you can say it's closer, but Bama still covered.
Yep, Bama was getting a bunch of open looks, too.
And they weren't
making
anything.
They didn't
uncharacteristic,
make their shots.
Uncharacteristic.
Yes. They only shot 30% from three.
And they still won by 11. So that's a testament to Kentucky's just
garbageness,
yes.
I don't know. But this, okay, to be fair, I'm still going to stick with the Kentucky ain't making the tournament. But they have shown signs of life, and they've shown
I disagree. What in that game showed you a sign of life? They got so lucky that Bama wasn't hitting their shots. Unless you think their defense stepped it up, which I'd be willing to at least hear out. But still.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think Kentucky played great, D. I think Bama missed some shots that they normally make.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But just in the past week or so, Kentucky's shown life, although they still are.
They're 5-10.
I know.
Our bold predictions are phenomenal.
It's standing.
All right. Good to see. Tennessee squeaks out a close one against Mississippi State. They win by 3 points in that one. Vespons had a nice game, 6-9 from the floor, 13 points.
This is a classic Tennessee game, if you ask me.
Yep.
And they were, what were they, 10-point favorites? Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
we all said,
we all said, we know the way Tennessee plays. And the way Mississippi State plays, I mean, they're not winning, but they're at least playing in close games. So we kind of knew Tennessee wasn't going to cover that one.
Yeah, it's just Tennessee's always prone to either a tight game or a bad team loss, kind of, just because how they play. But they can also beat anybody in the country because it can go either way.
Next game, we got two very evenly matched teams. SMU takes on Memphis. Memphis takes a 4-point win. It was a really close game. The refs were not great in this game. SMU had a shot where I honestly thought it counted. They went to review and said it was a shot clock violation. I know Luke was in agreement with me, so I think SMU got robbed a little bit.
They got sold out a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. But Memphis is a difficult team to watch, in my opinion. Their half-court offense is just about as bad as it gets.
As you said last episode, Alex, on paper, they actually don't look like that bad of a team.
Oh, they're
you know, Landers, Nolly, Boogie Ellis, Penny Hardaway.
Moussa Cisse, I forgot about him.
Yeah, Moussa Cisse. They're a great team on paper, but their half-court offense is
stagnant.
That's putting it lightly.
Yep.
They need a turnover transition, like three or dunk, for them to have any sort of flowing offense. It's bad. Tough to watch.
ACC action. UNC goes on the road and takes down Pitt. Justin Champagny, he had another great game. 7-9 from the floor. 23 points, 10 boards. He just had no help from his team.
Unfortunate.
Was this at Pitt or was this at
UNC? Yeah, it was at the zoo.
It was at the zoo. Okay.
So I'm assuming that.
Oh, I actually didn't even catch any of that game, so that's interesting to know.
And UNC was favored in that game on the road at the zoo.
What are our thoughts on UNC come March? Do we think they're making the big dance?
They have now won three straight.
They're 11-5 team.
In a weaker ACC, sure, but yeah, that's the resume of a team that at this point seems like they would get in the field of 68.
Oh yeah, I think they're going to get in. I don't think right now they have much potential to win a game though.
Yeah, I don't see much firepower on them.
Not really. Yep. Especially with no 3-point shooters on that team. Like literally zero. Yeah,
they cannot shoot.
Literally zero.
They did get, I believe, I think it's R.J. Davis. He was, I don't know if he was injured or ineligible, but they got him back. And he's played a big role coming off the bench for UNC, and I think he's a big reason they're on a three-game win streak
Possibly, because when I was watching them, I think like 2-3 weeks back, I was like, this doesn't even look like a tourney team.
Yeah, I know.
But they're looking a little better now.
But the ACC is weaker, so they can pick up wins that they probably, with this sort of caliber
It is
team.
Weaker, but Pitt... We've mentioned them before. They're not a bad team.
Yeah, they're not a bad
team. So this is a good win for
UNC. It's a good win for UNC, yes.
All right, we got Dayton going on the road, knocking off 22-ranked St. Louis. Jalen Crutcher, more like Jalen Clutcher, my man's, just made some daggers.
He did. He had 27 points, and he hit two shots that were just beyond clutch. As you said, Jalen Clutcher.
I think we were like roasting the
shit
out of Dayton.
We were kind of slandering Dayton
last week.
Yeah, we said that they stink.
And they stepped up.
And I think that's a phenomenal win on the road. I think that's a good proving win.
Do we know what to make out of the A-10 this year? Because anytime an A-10 team gets ranked, they kind of tend to lose right away.
Yep.
I think
Spidey's and St. Louis are proof of this right now.
I think the A-10 is a lot weaker this year than it was last year, obviously.
Yeah.
And I mean, they had Dayton, who was like, literally like a top three team last year.
They're not there for in my they're for sure not the strongest mid major conference, in my opinion.
Might be the MVC this
year. I think it's the Mountain West.
Mountain West or Missouri Valley, one of the two.
It is not Missouri Valley,
dude,
Alex.
Alex thinks it's Missouri Valley.
That's just a fascinating statement. The Missouri Valley.
They're probably they could be two, honestly.
They're only getting one bid, in my opinion. Yes. I think the Mountain West has way bigger chance at multiple bids.
And so the A-10 could have two as well, you never know.
They could, yeah, but
it would take some miracles.
They're giving me some fraudulent vibes as of late.
There's not a good, strong A-10 team right now, I would say.
All right, Sharif Cooper and Auburn take down 12th-ranked Missouri, and Sharif Cooper has just turned this team around.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. What was his line that game?
28 points, 8 boards, 7 assists.
Yeah, I just remembered him just getting to the free throw line with ease.
Yeah.
When I was watching, that's about all I got. And what was the final score of that one, Alex?
88-82.
And Auburn was favored, obviously cover then. So.
Yep. Another one of Charlie's great picks of last week.
Yep. I liked Missouri in this one. Xavier Pinson did not really show up.
Nope, not at all. But I'm kind of wishing that Auburn would be in the tournament this year, because this team is kind of fun to watch.
Oh, very. This Auburn team, if they had a little bit more experience and they were a little bit, like, really experienced, they would.
I'm kind of sad, because I would love to see some March Sharif Cooper.
But. I believe it was Rothstein. Maybe not Rothstein. Maybe it was an announcer that on one of the other games that said that this Auburn team is kind of like a Walmart version of Baylor. And I didn't know if I agreed with it fully.
Ooh, it's going to have to be more than Walmart. I don't know. It's,
yeah.
It's a pretty big step down.
But then I thought to myself, like, okay, but who on Baylor would they compare to Sharif Cooper, I guess?
Wait,
Jared Butler?
They say Auburn's
not a chance.
Yeah, I was kind of like, I don't know if I see that one either.
First of all, Baylor plays more centered on defense. Auburn, I feel like, is more of a running, like, they're a run team. Mm-hmm. Baylor's not really a run team. They're kind of a half-court offense team, in my opinion. I don't know. It seems like a bad comparison.
All right, and then two games to close out Tuesday. I'll just say the scores. Duke beats Georgia Tech by 7. Jalen Johnson, Matthew Hurt stepped up in this one. And then LSU takes care of Texas A&M. Moving
Nothing
on.
Too surprising there.
Nope. Wednesday's games, we got Wisconsin taking on Maryland. Wisconsin picks up a 6-point win, gets revenge against Maryland.
Great game for Michael Potter.
They needed that game, though.
Absolutely.
Michael Potter dominated. And if he could just be half that consistent every game.
Yeah.
I would love to see Micah Potter's 3-point percentage from the top of the key.
It's got to be 60%.
It's just off pick and roll, so just pop top of the key.
Always open.
I feel like he always makes that three.
Yeah, it's... When it drops, it's a great sign, because him being able to stretch the defense, pull him out, is a 100%. Huge addition. And that's kind of always been the Badger, other than Ethan Happ, sans Ethan Happ. But
yes.
They've always had a big guy that can stretch out the defense, but they need to be more consistent this year on their shooting.
I mean, that's the key with the Badgers. We'll get to another game that they played in.
Oh, boy.
But consistency is key for the Badgers.
They never get a guy that can play 2 good offensive games in a row, and it's just heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking.
We had a close one in overtime. Marquette suffers another loss to Providence. David Duke took over, 31 points, 10 of 22 from the floor. Not much else
Alex,
to say.
Marquette, They stink.
Bad.
But something that nobody can ever take away from you this year.
It's 2 top 10
wins. It's 2 top 10 wins and their buzzer beater win over Wisconsin. Nobody can take that away from you, Alex. Nobody
can. And listen, see, even when they were 5-2 with those 2 top 10 wins.
You knew they were still bad.
I knew they weren't that good of a team.
Because if you even had the slightest inkling that they were going to be good, you would have gone all in on them. And the fact that you didn't, I could kind of tell.
Clear cut. That it wasn't going to be anything special this year.
FSU absolutely dominates Miami. I mean, no Chris Likes. That's to be expected.
FSU is
it's gonna be
way too much for Miami.
It's going to be
too
10 years in the future. We're still going to be talking about Chris Likes every time we mention Miami
every
basketball.
Every time Miami loses, it's going to be because Chris Likes wasn't there.
Yes.
It's going to be the reason.
Ohio State sneaks out a close one against Penn State. Seth Lundy for Penn State was absolutely incredible this game.
He was.
How much did Ohio State win by?
They won by 4.
Okay. And I really like Ohio State. And I think you mentioned this earlier, Wesley. Penn State's not as bad as sometimes people say.
They're really not.
Because before this game, they beat Rutgers.
Yes.
And then they almost beat Ohio State. Close
game. And then
they
followed this up with
And then they followed it up with, spoiler alert, a win over Wisconsin. So this Penn State team is not as bad as they were in the beginning of the year.
But the thing is, they weren't. I mean, they've gotten better over this year, but they weren't
In the beginning of the year, they were pretty bad.
They were pretty bad, but
they were 2-6.
They were 2-6, I guess.
Something
fair.
Like that.
Yeah, something like it was bad, but I don't know. You could see signs of life, whereas
that's fair.
A Nebraska, Northwestern, you're just what? They're just dead. They're not alive right now. So,
I mean, yeah, Penn State did have that early win, but over Virginia Tech by 20, where they looked really good in that game.
Yeah,
it's actually a fair point. That backs up Wesley's claim. I kind of forgot about that game.
I think we all picked this one. Creighton goes on the road to Seton Hall, wins by 4.
It was tight, but
Creighton had a huge run. at the end of this game. I think Seton Hall held like a 16-point lead at one point in the second half. They were up 10 at the end of the first. And yeah, Mitch Balick.
There's
absolutely butter.
Here's the thing. Mitch Balick will have one of these games once a month. It just depends if this once a month game is going to be against a team that they needed to be against, like a top 20 kind of team, or is it going to be against a bad Big East team? And I think, because he's going to hit 7 threes at least like once a month. He's too good of a shooter to.
Does Creighton ever blow teams out?
No, never.
When's the last time they blew somebody out?
Never.
And you'd think that Creighton would be the team that can,
with
because,
the firepower from threes. Yes,
you'd think that they'd be a team conducive to blowing other teams out, and they're really not. That's part of the reason why I'm really not buying in on Creighton whatsoever.
And also, Mamu, he's kind of slowed down as of late. Jared Roden's been stepping up a lot, as well as Miles Kale.
I've noticed teams tend to key in on Mamu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They know he's too good. They can't let him beat him.
Virginia Tech goes on the road, takes care of Notre Dame. I think we all predicted that one.
Expected. Nothing else.
Baylor absolutely destroys K-State.
Kansas State's a D2 team.
50-point win.
They're D2 team.
Maybe D3.
Maybe D3. Somebody outside of the show informed me that there was like, oh, there's a recruit going to Kansas State. I was like, you might want to reconsider because he's going to a D2 or a D3 school. I was like, Kansas State is a joke of a program.
They are.
Absolute joke. And the funny thing is, they weren't a joke like 2 or 3 years ago.
They made the Elite Eight a few years ago.
That's hilarious.
Which is wild.
Granted, by UMBC. UMBC with the assist.
But they had Dean Wade, Larry Brown.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Something bad. Not good.
Clemson takes care of Louisville by 4 points. And they contain Carly Jones.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, this was a very uncharacteristic game for Carly Jones. What was he, 4 for 14 from the field?
Yep.
Very uncharacteristic. He's normally, like, very efficient.
But
I mean, I still don't like Clemson.
I don't like Clemson, but I don't like Louisville either.
See, I kind of like Louisville. I don't know.
But I don't know how you can...
Not as, like, a great team. Like, I think that they're, like, maybe if... Let's say March Madness were to begin, they'd be, like, a 7 seed or something.
They get the 7-10 and that's it, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Only one.
So I guess I don't really like them then. I just
enjoy their presence.
Enjoy their presence.
Fair to say.
Drake holds off a late push by Missouri State. They win by 5 and stay undefeated.
Missouri State, not in just this game, but the next game, they give Drake a run for their money both times. I think they were up at half in both games.
That's what I was gonna say. I thought they were up. But
for
you
sure
could
in
say,
the first game,
you
up.
Could say that maybe Drake isn't that good, or you could say that Drake just knows how to win.
They know what could go either way. They know how to win because they haven't lost, so.
That would be fair.
That would be a good argument. But this Drake team is, they're going to place. I wonder if they're kind of like the Wofford of a couple of years ago.
Ooh, they do not have the offensive firepower that Wofford of a
couple. But are they going to be like a 6 or 7 seed?
If they keep winning, I don't see it. Why not, especially
like,
in the NBC.
Was 7, correct? Wofford
yes,
was
Wofford
7.
Was a 7 seed 2 years back. But I don't think Drake's got a Fletcher McGee on the
team. They don't have a Fletcher McGee. They're just a kind of a complete team, honestly.
Yeah.
But they don't have any studs. They don't have any guys that can get that bucket, I guess. I don't know. I haven't really watched too much Drake basketball, but...
Yeah, kind of just seeing them stack up the W's.
Yeah. And I'm buying in.
All right, some late night Mountain West action. Colorado State absolutely destroys Boise State.
Yeah, but what was the final
score? Annihilated them.
22-point win, 78-56.
I don't know how you want to argue this. You can say Boise State had a bad game and maybe they're a little iffy, or you can say Colorado State is an actual good team, and you can go either way. I think they're both good teams.
I think Boise State's the better team. They had an off night, but Colorado State's
they're
a good team, and they took advantage.
This is like, we got to recognize Colorado State's presence here because you don't win by 22
12-3 teams
for just
still.
A team shooting bad. And they had that win over San Diego State where they came back from like a huge deficit
in
the first half.
And they beat Utah State as well.
Exactly. This is, once again, this backs up my claim from earlier that the Mountain West is the best mid-major conference.
100% I agree.
Just because they've got so much competition. There's 4 or 5 quality teams in that conference.
I really hope all the competition doesn't distract the voters and make it a one bid. I know
what you're saying by that, yeah.
Because I feel like that they're all these competitive teams
that
are playing each other, handing each other losses.
They deserve two bids.
They deserve two bids, but they're all going to hand each other losses, and it's a little disappointing. I hope that it's a two bid. I really do.
All right, moving on to Thursday. Rutgers beats Michigan State by 30. Michigan State put up 37 points.
And it's, you would think that maybe Tom Izzo at halftime, after having a nice little 20-point first half, would be like, all right, guys, I got something to say. Let's change it up. Absolutely not. They scored less in the second half. How many? Okay, this has got to be some kind of statistics question. How many teams score less in the second half in a game? I would say less than 1%.
What?
Wait, rephrase that. I didn't even follow that.
The team scores less points than they did in the first half. Michigan State scored 20 in the first half and 17
in the second. You're saying assuming they scored 20?
1% of the time.
You're saying assuming the team scores 20 points in the first half, or what are you saying?
That was a bad argument. I had to rephrase.
For the listeners, I'm gonna rewind this one because I feel like I know what you're saying. Somehow, I know Wesley's brain the weird way that it does work.
I just thought about what the hell I just said. And
you're
it
saying if a team scores 37 points, what are the odds? Wait, what were you saying?
What the hell was I saying?
What were you saying?
He's saying if a team scores as low as 20 points in the first half, what are the odds that they score less in the second half?
I mean, I don't know how many times teams score 20 points in the first half, so I don't know if it's necessarily a statistics question.
Who was it last year that scored like 24 in a game? Was that NC State?
NC State.
And they were ranked at that time.
Which was fine.
I think they scored the ranking. I think they were 24 and scored 24.
No, they scored less. I think they scored like 23. It was insane.
Embarrassing.
But getting back to this game, do you guys want to know why Michigan State scored less points in the second half and only scored 37 in general?
Partially because of Rutgers' defense.
It's Miles Johnson. When Miles Johnson stays out of foul trouble, he is a menace to other teams' big men.
Yes.
What did he have that game? Let's see his line. He had 13 points, 14 boards, 5 blocks.
Yes, he had a very good game.
As long as he stays out of foul trouble, oh my goodness.
He's a big man. But
and also, don't look now, Rutgers is heating up. They're back. It's official, guys.
Michigan State is also a stinky team.
Sure. I actually kind of agree with that one. I saw something the other day. It was about Michigan State making the tournament.
Do we still think? I think they're going to squeak it at a 10. They'll squeak it at 10.
Probably. Mm.
See, I'm going to disagree with you here.
I haven't looked at their upcoming schedule. If they have a tough upcoming schedule,
because they're one, there were really only two good wins this year are against Duke and Rutgers, who are teams that have kind of taken a step back, especially Duke.
But it was a still ranked Duke win in British right at that time.
Yes.
Number six in the nation, Duke. And when they beat Rutgers, Rutgers was ranked as well.
So those are decent wins.
You can't say that now they're bad.
But just not a good win.
Michigan State's stacking up losses. That's basically my main point.
And I think they need to win 60-70% of their remaining games.
Yeah,
to
they just they have don't have any.
I mean, they're 2-6 in Big Ten play.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They need to win 60.
They don't really have any guard play.
And I think they need a defining win in the Big Ten tournament.
What's up with Rocket Watts, Alex? What's his deal?
I don't know. My man's is settling for a lot of like pull up mid ranges. I like seeing Rocket Watts drive to the hoop, attack the rim.
Absolutely.
He hasn't been doing that much.
I need Joey Hauser to shoot the ball more because Joey Hauser is an incredibly efficient player. And I feel like they let their guards get more shots when Joey Hauser is clearly the best player on that team. And he deserves more shots too. And I think they need to get him the ball more if they want to be successful.
I agree. Michigan State, they got a lot of problems. And
they need to solve them quickly if they want to make a tournament run here.
Alrighty. Kansas takes care of TCU. They win by 8 points.
Hey, Kansas got to win.
Kansas got to win against a pretty bad TCU team. But a win's a win. It's all that matters.
Then a rematch. SMU beats Memphis by 2 points. Me and Wes were watching this game.
It was pretty hard to watch.
Absolutely disgusting.
Disgusting. There were
Memphis basketball. I think I tweeted something out. Watching their offense is like watching paint dry.
And it's a completely accurate comparison. It is impossible. And also, Penny Hardaway, when he's given the chance for like a last second shot something, he draws up the worst plays ever.
Classic Penny. I could have guessed that one.
Exactly. He's good at paying for recruits, and that's more or less it. And they just love. If you're a good player, how do you like enjoy going to play for him? Because he just doesn't have any success with his teams. He just gets you to the NBA and pays you money. But so I guess that's what the kids want, but...
I mean, you're not wrong.
I don't know. He's impossible to watch.
The Zags end up beating the Toreros by 28. It was kind of close in the beginning. The Toreros were... I think they had them tied at, like,
I don't think the Zags covered 22. This one, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think the line was...
The Toreros covered the line.
Boom!
29.5 point favorites. The Toreros hanging in there.
Let's go.
Imagine...
Torero Nation, baby.
The Cougs. The Cougs absolutely destroyed Tulane.
Yes.
They were splashing Houston wise.
Houston's low key been looking pretty nice lately.
They have been. Mm-hmm. Agreed. They were without Quentin Grimes this game too, but they were playing Tulane. So
they were playing Tulane, but really there's a guy off the bench for Houston. His name is Cameron Tyson. He's kind of taking that Caleb Mills role who transferred to Florida State.
Florida State.
Bingo.
So he's a sophomore, and he was 9 for 15 from three this game.
Ooh, see that adds a little bit more to Houston's offense because, I mean, you know Houston more than me. Are they a great 3-point shooting team normally, or not really?
Yes, if Quentin Grimes is playing mediocre, then I guess so because he takes a lot of threes.
Okay,
and Marcus Sasser as well.
I feel like if they just have another guy out there whose main presence is to shoot threes, though, that's going to make me buy into Houston a little bit more.
Because they're a phenomenal defensive team.
Exactly. That was more or less my point.
They hound you. So they need some consistent offensive production.
Moving on to Friday's games, we got some Big South action where UNC Asheville hands Winthrop their first loss of the season. Winthrop now 16-1. I still think they're the favorites to win the Big South.
Yeah. Big South, in general, is not that good of a conference. I always need to kind of preface it by saying that.
Yes.
But Winthrop's probably going to win the Big South.
Would that be funny if, like, a team other than Winthrop made it? And it's like they'd be a 16.
Would it be an auto 16, probably?
Yeah, auto 16. 100%.
And, yeah, not many great games Friday. There was one really good game. Illinois takes care of Iowa at home, winning by 5 points.
This was a great game.
Absolutely.
Trent Frazier really stepped up.
And they've needed him
for Illinois.
Trent all was a year. Bucket. And this is his first
time. Was he the leading scorer of that game?
Iowa had one more point than him.
One more. Okay, still. Great game for Trent. Yep. And Luka Garza got into foul trouble for Iowa.
Yes, he did.
And that, he hasn't gotten into foul trouble too much this year. He's done a pretty good job at kind of staying out of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a scary prospect for Iowa if Garza is getting into foul trouble.
Yes.
Because without him on the court, it's just not the same Iowa team.
100% obviously. I agree. 100% agree. And also, Luke would be quite happy to see Keegan Murray start this game and got 32 minutes, which is
well deserved.
Great move by Fran McCaffrey. He took the son bias out of it. Got his son out of there because not that good.
Also, and, for Illinois, Andre Curbelo played 26 minutes. He was 3 of 4 from the floor, 8 points, 8 assists.
Good to see Adam Miller dropping another egg in the starting lineup.
Another egg for Adam Miller. Yep.
Every time Adam Miller drops an egg, we here at Maiden March just rejoice.
We love it. Absolutely love to see it. But it's good to see that Adam Miller is now being overtaken by Andre Curbelo. I think that's going to help Illinois.
Absolutely. So that wraps up games for Friday. And then Saturday. Here's the big slate.
Saturday had some incredible games.
Penn State upsets Wisconsin. They win by 10 pretty comfortably, actually.
Yeah, Wisconsin looked bad all game. And also, Brad Davison is kind of just like, he's not the downfall of Wisconsin basketball when they lose, but he always is, I don't know, this year he's just looked
That's bad. What I've been saying. And like, so we all go to Wisconsin and people are coming around campus asking us, they're like, what's wrong with the Badgers?
Yeah.
And I'd say there's a lot of things wrong with the Badgers, but number one, I'd like to point to Brad Davison. Then people are like, oh, Brad Davison, he's not even that good. It's like, sure, but last year he would at least have games where he shoots pretty efficiently and puts up a good amount of points. This year, what is his shooting percentage from the field? Because it's not good.
I think it was in the, did we check?
I think it's around like 35.
34, 35.
I think it was 34%. Brad Davison needs to step it up, but it's not just him.
It's the whole team.
It's the whole team. Even Trice, who's having a pretty good year.
Trice has been cold the past 2 or 3 weeks.
He's a very hot and cold player, and the Badgers in general are a hot and cold team.
100%.
And lately, it's been a lot more cold than hot.
Agreed. And I think they need... I mean, Trice was actually quite consistent for the first month or two of basketball.
Yeah.
And he's really cooled off, and it's really hurting the Badgers because they don't have any consistent offensive pieces that they can go to. Nate Reavers has also had a huge down year. The entire year
he played well in this one, though.
He played well, but overall, it's been
a... Said it before, say it again. A team with five seniors in the starting lineup should not be as inconsistent as the Badgers are.
I heard whoever was on this game, someone said, are they maybe too old? Like, I don't know. Like, someone said that.
Like, the players are just stressing out about their internship interviews and stuff like that, not worrying about basketball. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. So one of the announcers said that. I forgot what the argument he made behind it, but someone said it.
That would actually be interesting to hear. I would want to hear that out.
All right, then we have the first game of the SEC Big 12 Challenge. Oklahoma continues to roll. They beat a red-hot Alabama team, and Oklahoma was without Austin Reeves this game. They won shorthanded.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I mean, they still won. They held Bama to, what, 61 points?
61 points.
Mm-hmm.
Not many teams have done that.
Hard to do to Bama.
Yes, very hard. Bama?
Brady Manick stepped up off the bench.
And he's really key on defense, too.
Yes.
That, I think that was one of the main reasons why they held him to 61.
And Brady Manick didn't play that well offensively, but you're going to look at the stat line and be like, what? He didn't anything. But it was all clutch time, 2 or 3 minutes left of the game. He had three, had some nice offensive rebounds up for layups. So he's kind of like their, without Austin Reeves at least, for sure, he's their go-to guy in the last couple minutes of the game, for sure.
Bama missed a few close. Like, yes, they had some layups down the stretch that normally would fall, but credit to Oklahoma's defense. They played really well.
Also, why was that? There was that forward for Alabama, Alex Reese, I think his name is.
Austin, I think.
Or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Why was he firing so many threes?
He started out hot. I think he made his first two, and then,
he basically went cold. Just kept on shooting. Every time they got the ball,
it was
ball,
a Kobe mentality. Rather go 0-31 than 0-10, because at least I know I didn't lose confidence.
I would much rather have John Petty be shooting threes or Shackleford or Primo than this Reese guy.
The Big 12 gets another win in the challenge. Texas Tech pulls off an incredible comeback against LSU. That was an incredible game.
Honestly,
final score on that one?
Texas Tech 76, LSU 71. And Texas Tech finished on a 12-0 run thanks to Mac McClung. We all know Mac is that dude. He's so clutch.
And he hasn't also improved his three-point shooting this year.
Very, and I actually did want to mention that his three-point shooting this year has been a lot better. But it wasn't just Mac McClung this game. Alex, your boy, Terrence Shannon, really stepped up.
He had some big shots down the stretch.
It's Shannon and Mac McClung's team. It's their team.
Got to say, though, Javonte Smart, a.k.a. No Hair, Don't Care, he had a nice game for LSU.
He did. He had some deep step-back threes.
Yeah.
But this LSU, I don't know how to, react to this.
Oh, I know how to react to this. They play so wild.
They play, that's a great way to describe it.
They are loose with the basketball. They treat it like it's, just nothing.
And Will Wade, I don't think he's fine with it because they clearly, in my opinion, don't have an offense. Like an offense, a scheme, they don't have a scheme. They just, it's give the ball to Javonte Smart, Trenton Watford, or Cameron Thomas, and let them ISO ball.
Yeah, let them get a bucket.
I think they're, points assisted is, 40% or something like that. 40% of their points are assisted, 60 are unassisted.
Yeah.
Which is pretty, that's actually, a huge difference in numbers. But
yeah, LSU is a little too wild for my taste.
Yeah, I know.
But I Texas Tech, with Mac McClung, if Terrence Shannon keeps stepping up,
They need to use him more.
This is definitely a team to keep an eye on.
Spooky team.
Yeah, he had that. Terrence Shannon had that one incredible game against Kansas where you had four threes or something like that. They need to use him more. He's their second best player behind Mac.
Because I would say Texas Tech's downfall is when they maybe lean a little too heavily on Mac McClung.
Yes.
Because then teams key in on him.
And also when they're going against bigger teams because they're a pretty undersized team in my opinion.
All right, Chomp Chomp Gator Swamp beats West Virginia. This was another really good game. Florida's big man, Colin Castleton, welcome back. I think this was his first game played in a while. I'm not sure why he missed some time. But he had 21.7 boards, and he was key for Florida in this one.
Florida's they've been kind of tough to read all year, but this was a great
win. As of late, they've been a little better.
I think this boosted them big time. Like, I saw, projected brackets, obviously, from all the big-name guys.
Yeah.
And they launched Florida up there after this win.
Oh, yeah.
It was big, big time.
Because West Virginia, even without, obviously, Oscar Tshiebwe transferring about a month back, still a solid team. You got Deuce McBride. You got Derek Culver. Derek Culver had a pretty good game. In this game, though, Deuce McBride, his shot just was not falling.
Yeah. 0 of 6 from 3. That ain't going to do it. 3 of 15 from the field.
You know, he's got to keep shooting, though. Deuce is key for that West Virginia.
Absolutely.
Team.
Yes.
Because he can't see the ball in Jordan McCabe's hands. It needs to be it needs to be in Deuce's hands.
The fact that Jordan McCabe is now re-entered in the starting lineup is a real...
Did he really start?
He started.
He has been starting for
a while. He has been starting for a couple weeks. It's really depressing for West Virginia basketball.
He's never
reached that low.
At the end of the game.
So. He's just not a confident player.
He's like
really.
A 15-minute player kind of guy.
Yeah. Big East action. Villanova takes care of Seton Hall. They win by 8.
Is it just me or has Villanova played Seton Hall like 10 times this year? Like I feel like
just played like a week ago, so that's probably
I don't know. I feel like every episode it's
Villanova's had
Seton
a lot
Hall.
Of COVID issues, so yeah. Rescheduling games and stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, Villanova, I think they're a solid team. I wouldn't say flying under the radar because they're third in the country, but I don't think that many people are talking about Nova.
And I think you can credit that a lot to the COVID issues because they were off like what, like 3 weeks?
28 days. 27 days.
Oh, almost 4.
Yep. It was a huge break. And that's actually tough for them as a team, too, to come back and try and get back into the rhythm of the regular season.
Yeah. And one of my favorite players in the Big East, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, he had a pretty good game.
Slight bias, of course.
Baylor takes care of Auburn. Adam Flagler off the bench was an absolute bucket.
Oh, you know who else was good off the bench? Matt Meyer.
Was that the dunk?
With the cool hair.
Oh my god, he's got the insane hair too.
He does.
He's got the hair and his dunk.
His putback dunk.
He just came like flying in from the free throw line with one hand. Boom.
He sent the world into shock.
And that brought his confidence level up so high. He like drained like 2 threes after that. Yeah. Then he made like another dunk. Like he was feeling himself.
He was definitely feeling himself. And I mean, if he can be a consistent player for them off the bench, him and Flagler.
Gotta
and
say,
everyday John.
No.
Flagler's having a really good year.
Yeah,
very.
He is.
That's
he
why Baylor's scary.
Win
they got three bench players that would start on most teams in the nation.
Absolutely.
John, what everyday John? I don't know. I'm sorry.
Everyday John, Flagler, and Matt Mayer. And as far as Auburn's concerned, they're the best 10-8 team in the nation, hands down, by far, bar none.
Yes, they're. They're very, very fun.
Maybe
to watch.
The Johnnies.
Okay.
Just kidding. Slight bias. I love the Johnnies. But Georgia Tech beats FSU.
This one got kind of slid underneath the rug here. Not many people.
There were so many good games.
There were
so many
good games that like you might have missed this one.
Yeah.
But Florida State falls.
I feel like Georgia Tech pulls off a lot of upsets.
You took the words out of my mouth. That's the next thing I was going to say. I was going to say this is a classic win for the rambling wreck of
Georgia
Tech. They're just perennially just a team that just pulls off upsets. So... Big
so
props to the rambling
to
wreck.
Tech.
Let's see if FSU can rebound. I tend to think they will.
Yes, I do. I don't think they're going to go on that cold stretch they had for a couple weeks, about a month ago, something like that.
A little in-state rivalry. Virginia Tech beats Virginia pretty handily by 14 points. Virginia Tech, we said they live and die by the three. They shot 50% from three, and they won handily.
Absolutely. I mean, that's kind of how Virginia Tech plays. If they shoot really good from three... they'll be competitive against good teams, and if they don't, they're kind of prone to getting upset. But, Wes, I feel like you called them frauds last episode. Maybe you should apologize to Hokie Nation out there.
Well, I'm all for this win. I hate Virginia.
That's actually a good point.
I mean, yes, the teams that begin with the name Virginia have been on my fraud list kind of this year, but the one without the tech.
Either of them are
but
frauds.
The one without the tech, you
the
hate
one without
more.
The tech, I hate more. I mean, but Virginia just, like, I don't know. You can't lose games by 20 plus and be a top 10 team. They lost to Gonzaga by like 28 once as well. Don't let that go
unnoticed.
I don't know. I am an absolute hater of Virginia, and I will continue to be. Pronounced.
All right. I'll disagree with you there, but U10 takes care of Kansas. I'm completely off Kansas.
Yeah, does KU stink? Do they stink?
No, they don't stink. But
they're 11-6.
They're a little bit smelly. they've lost four out of their last five, I believe.
And their only win was over Horned Frogs.
Yeah.
Who is borderline.
Don't say meme team. They have over 10 wins this year.
I apologize to Horned Frog Nation.
I thought Kansas was a semi-good defensive team, but they let U10 score 80 on them.
Yeah, how do you even do that? That's
how
not
is that
Tennessee,
possible?
Like, never scores 80.
Like, a month ago, this Kansas team was... Everybody on everybody's hot radar. Like,
yeah.
Everybody was like, wow.
I won't,
mine especially.
I love
yes,
Kansas.
Alex and Charlie especially here.
Because they, I don't know, beginning of the year, they shot pretty well with Christian Brown and Abaji.
They were,
Yep, and they were combined 1 of 13 from 3. Those two were in this one.
Not
going to
get it.
Yeah, Abaji, he shoots a lot. But they kind of need him to, because they really don't have any other guys that are going to do it other than him and Christian Brown. So,
all right, some Big Ten action. Boiler up, destroys Minnesota. Travion Williams, too much to handle.
I love Travion Williams. He's one of my favorite players in the nation.
And Purdue might have found a shooter, Brandon Newman. Yes. 5 of 6 from three this game.
Yes.
We said that's what Purdue needed. They got it this game.
29 points for Brandon Newman.
Yeah, that's wild. I did not know that man could score like that, but
yeah,
clearly he had a hot hand this game. And
took it to him.
Purdue shut down Marcus Carr as well. Only 6 points for Marcus Carr.
Carr the star, baby.
Minnesota's never going to win games with Marcus Carr scoring 6.
I think this Purdue team is, the Stonks are big up right now. If they can find a partner for Travion Williams.
I've been on Purdue for a while, too.
I could see maybe even like a kind of, maybe an Elite Eight Purdue it.
I dig the fuck out of that pick.
I mean, like, I'm not going to go bold prediction, but like, starting to think that right now.
They can definitely make a run.
Oh, man.
Because outside of Travion, they got guys who can shoot. Well, with Sasha, and then obviously the guy you just mentioned.
If they can get Jaden Ivey, they can take it to the rack.
I think they're pretty well-rounded.
If they can, I just think they need to be consistent, Brandon Newman and Jaden Ivey. If they can both be consistent.
Yeah. They're just very inconsistent from three.
They're very young.
Yeah.
They're playing like freshmen is what they're playing like. But I'm liking the Purdue team right now. I'm liking how it's sitting.
The Zags roll through Pepperdine. No surprise there. Creighton beats DePaul by 7.
There it is. Creighton not blowing out bad teams.
Or any team. It's the weirdest thing.
And this DePaul team was without their really only good player, Charlie Moore, as well. So
That's a depressing sign kind if you're a Creighton fan.
Creighton's like 7'2" or 7'1" freshman center. Had 12 points off the bench. He's kind of interesting guy to watch if you check him out.
Interesting to watch. Watch just for a guy. Creighton is a tough team to watch sometimes.
Yeah, those were the big games on Saturday, but we'll say it again. That was an incredible slate of games.
Incredible slate, yes.
And so we get into today's games. Marquette, they lose again. I texted in the chat before this game the Johnnies are going to win this one. They won by 2. Pasha Alexander again. Basically won this game for the Johnnies. He had 6 steals.
What's Marquette's record?
8-9.
They're officially under 500.
No matter what happens, one of the constants in life is that the Johnnies will just beat Marquette. That's just how it works. Yep. So, yeah, no real surprise.
And there's
even if Marquette was like a 15-0 team, the Johnnies are picking it up.
Yeah.
And also, Justin Champagny on Pittsburgh averages like 21 a game. His brother plays on the Johnnies. He's averaging 20 a game as well. So they're brothers.
Dynamic duo.
Yeah, they're kind of on fire recently. Houston absolutely dominates the Ponies. I think Luke said the Ponies might make a second-half run or something.
The Ponies might win this game, and I was like,
That's the exact opposite of what happened.
Oh, boy. It's not.
Yep. It's not like Quentin Grimes and Dejon Giroux didn't even shoot the ball well.
Sasser shot okay, but I don't know. It's their defense. It's more their defensive prowess.
Yep.
Their defensive prowess that really gets them.
And then Michigan State drops another one to Ohio State. I don't know. Michigan State, bunch of frauds.
Yep. Exactly.
100%.
We've said all we need to on Michigan State. And obviously Ohio State.
Yeah. I like this Ohio State.
This Ohio State team, if you want to say Purdue's like a sleeper Elite Eight team, I think Ohio State's a sleeper Final Four team, honestly.
Yeah. Purdue plays a lot. Ohio State plays a lot of big guys. They start 4 forwards pretty much every game. Justin Sweeney, Joe Liddell, Kyle Young.
Their goal going into every game is to dominate you.
Out physical you.
Yeah. And they do. With EJ Liddell, it's kind of hard for them to not out physical people.
I know, but the weird thing with Ohio State is they don't have a true, like, big guy. Like, EJ Liddell's their biggest guy.
Like 6'7", 6'8".
Oh, but he plays so huge out there.
He always is guarding the big men. Like, he's guarding Kofi, he's guarding Luka. He's guarding Hunter Dickinson, those kind of guys. It's impressive.
And then a game that just recently wrapped up, Rutgers takes care of Northwestern. Northwestern, like, I don't know why they were even ranked.
Well, they were not ranked during that game.
Well,
let's make that
before.
But Rutgers, I think they've won 4 straight?
I think it's three.
Three straight, got back to 500 in Big Ten play.
Mm-hmm.
this Rutgers team's heating up. And Miles Johnson was in foul trouble a lot this game. But my real main takeaway from this game, because I kind of expected Rutgers to win, these refs were
bad.
Garbage.
Both sides for both teams.
I think like these refs were like just came out of a time machine for like the 1970s where like travels were called like actually legitimately
and carries.
There were like 15 traveling violations called out there. It was a sight to see. The announcers didn't even know what to say. Yeah, the announcers.
Traveling violation.
The announcers didn't even know what to say. They were like, oh, maybe the floor is like a little slippery. I was like,
yeah. Maybe snow was leaking in from the roof, and maybe that's why they're traveling.
I was like, no, it's not. These refs just suck. Over half the traveling violations were not actually travels. It was absurd.
Or they were like the nitpicky.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, they normally let them.
They
play.
Were on their pivot foot and like a toe
dragged an inch.
It's something dumb like that.
At the end of the day, at least they called it both sides.
Yes, it wasn't unfair.
What I hate is when they only call it for one team, but yes. Both teams, they were just calling it awful.
Almost an impossible game to watch, if you ask me. It was.
Yeah, it kind of was. Rutgers went on a 10-minute field goal drought to end the first half
and
still won. So that's all about
that's,
need to
that's
know about 25%
of the basketball game where they didn't score a bucket. That's pretty bad. Yeah. That's bad.
Actually, one more game to mention from tonight. Washington State beats Washington by 7. Eric Stevenson.
What is it?
4 of 11 from the floor, 1 of 5 from 3, 13 points.
That's the most Eric Stevenson stat line of all time.
Just mediocre shooting at best.
At best.
Gets into double digits.
I love watching Eric Stevenson play.
Every time I watch Washington,
I don't watch
the game.
He's wild.
My eyes follow Eric Stevenson as he runs up and down the court, and I don't watch anybody else.
You better not be watching Washington to watch the team 3-12.
Yeah,
they
boss. Stink.
All right, and then moving into some games to look forward to. Tomorrow night, we've got Georgia Tech going on the road to take on Louisville. Louisville, 3.5-point favorite. I like Louisville in this one. I don't think the rambling wreck upsets Louisville.
No, absolutely. What was the line again?
3.5.
Louisville minus 3.5.
Yeah, I expect Louisville to cover. I think Carlique Jones has a bounce-back game.
Yep.
He normally doesn't really have like any efficient games, so I definitely don't expect him to have two bad ones in a row.
I agree. I'm picking Louisville to cover as well.
I agree with you there. And then the big game of the night, Oklahoma going on the road to take on Texas Tech. Texas Tech is a 6.5-point favorite.
Oklahoma's
that seems
covering.
A little
that's,
bit too much
that
for me.
Seems too much. I'm going to pick Oklahoma to cover for sure, and if you're picking a lot.
Absolutely. The way I pick Oklahoma to cover this game, Austin Reeves, do we know why he didn't play in their most recent game?
That could be playing a factor into the line. I think if like there's a update on him before the
exactly.
game.
Exactly. I need
Vegas
an update on Austin Reeves. Because I still actually think, even without him, I think Oklahoma covers. But if Austin Reeves plays, pick Oklahoma to win that game. They're too hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
Man. It's going to be a really good game.
It's going to be a really good game. I think it's going to be a one-possession game.
Every Texas Tech game always seems to be
I think I like
game.
Texas Tech to win outright.
Yeah, fun team
to
watch.
I'm not sure about the spread, depending on if Reeves is in or out for me.
Even
that
without Reeves, I
would
still take Oklahoma to cover.
Clearly, they did against Bama without Reeves, so
yeah,
quite impressive.
All right, Tuesday's games, we got Penn State going on the road, taking on the 14th-ranked Badgers. Can the Badgers bounce back and get a win over Penn State this time?
God, I hope so.
There's no lines out for today, also.
Yeah. We're going to assume that the Badgers are probably going to be, what, like 4-point favorites?
I would
like
say
that.
I would almost say 6.
Even after losing by 10 points to them recently.
And they're 100% dropping in the rankings tomorrow.
Because I think the Badgers, when they were on the road, were a 4-point favorite. So at home, I think they'll be a 6.5-point favorite, somewhere around there.
They cannot lose the season series to Penn State. That's all
I can
say.
The Badgers are just so due for a bounce back, honestly.
They did the same thing with Maryland.
Like, I'm predicting kind of a blowout here. I'm predicting Badgers by 10.
They better not lose in the Kohl's Center.
If they lose,
if
we get swept by Penn State losing at home,
I'm gonna lose it.
Things are gonna start moving quickly in people's minds around campus because confidence will be dwindling.
Yeah, it'll be about zero at that point. So they better pull it out here.
Then another Big Ten battle: Michigan State taking on Iowa. I like Iowa in this one. Michigan State. We'll see if they can score over 50 points, I think.
I think
that's something you got to watch for.
I think Iowa's probably going to be favored by a lot of points in this game, honestly.
Yeah.
If it's anything above...
Probably 9.
Yeah, if it's anything above 8.5, I'd say think about it.
But
I think
under
that,
if Luke was here, he would tell you that Michigan State always finds a way to play Iowa tough. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just telling you that's what he would tell you.
Right now, BPI's got Iowa at 89%, though.
Ooh!
That's... That's killer.
That is.
So, I don't know where you go with that one, but I think it's going to be a
big line. Iowa will probably win.
It's going to be a big line.
Depending on the line, I might actually take Michigan State to cover.
It could be a big one, so yeah, it could be a good move.
All right. Baylor versus Texas.
Top three game of the year right there. Shaka is back.
Is he really?
I don't know. I'm saying is. Question. It was meant to be a
that
question.
That did not sound like
a question. Yeah, that sounded like a statement.
It was a statement.
It sounded like an affirmative, like Shaka's back.
I forgot to do the voice inflection at the end.
Shaka's back?
Question mark?
I don't think he's back. I mean, he was probably diagnosed, like, what, like a little over a week ago, maybe?
Yeah. I don't know how, like, they work.
I don't know. I'm going to assume that he's protocols. Not. 50-50. Coin flip. Let's just call it that.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a great game.
Also, I think...
Is there a line out for this game yet?
No, I think the line's going to be close to a pick'em as well.
Because is it at Texas?
It's at Texas, yeah.
It's got to be close to a pick'em or something.
Be a 1.5, probably.
Maybe Baylor by... But I expect Baylor to come out and win this game.
Yeah, I like Baylor as
well. I don't see them losing.
I'm going to take Baylor in this one as well.
Especially if Flagler and Mayer can step like up off the bench like they did.
Man.
It's hard to bet against Baylor now.
I agree with you on that one. We got Tennessee going on the road to take on Ole Miss. Tennessee's been a little shaky. They did just beat Kansas, but I like them to beat Ole Miss.
I haven't heard Ole Miss do like anything this year, so
yeah.
I guess give me U10.
North Carolina taking on Clemson.
Wow. Stinky ACC teams.
I don't know. I think this UNC team is really on the rise. I like UNC to win this one by 10 to 12 points.
I do, too.
I like especially UNC to win, but not by 10 to 12.
I don't know. Clemson kind of stinks.
They do stink, but UNC also, you're trying to act like UNC doesn't stink a little bit, at least.
I don't know. We mentioned earlier how UNC's kind of on the rise. They got that new guy
coming
back.
They're coming out of the shitter a little bit.
A little bit.
Not yet. No, they're not fully out
you're
yet.
Not though. Willing to commit to it.
No, I'm going to say they'll win, though. I'll pick them to win.
K-State. Taking on Kansas. Hopefully Kansas can win this one. They have been struggling recently. This one should be
prayers
a freebie for
up
them.
For Kansas Jayhawk Nation if they can't win this game.
What if
there
Kansas
will be
loses
mayhem.
K-State?
I mean, is this an in-state rivalry throw everything out the window kind of game?
Absolutely.
Absolutely not.
This should be a game, hopefully, where Kansas can gain some confidence and just
I think
win by
yeah,
like 30.
Needs to
get their mojo back, maybe.
It needs to be that.
Big Blue Nation going on the road to take on Missouri. I like Missouri in this one.
I'm thinking about this one.
Yeah.
See, this is where I wish the line was out. Because I don't really like Missouri as much as their ranking might show, but I also don't like Big Blue Nation.
I don't either. So I hate Big Blue Nation, but I'm going
to
take...
Give me Missouri to win this game. I still don't like them that much.
Jeremiah Tillman and Xavier Pinson.
I'm going to take Big Blue Nation in this game.
Okay.
Really?
With little confidence. But okay. Well, it's... I don't know.
Noted little confidence.
I hate both these teams. I really hate Missouri with the passion. I don't know. I don't think they're deserving of a 12 spot in the nation right now.
Well, when the rankings come out on Monday, they won't be 12.
Agreed. That's a good point to make.
More Big Ten games. Good Big Ten slate tonight, or on Tuesday night. Illinois going on the road to take on Indiana.
Assembly
Hall.
Should
be an intriguing game.
Noted tough place to play, TM.
TM.
So.
Yes.
Have these two teams played before? They did, actually. Illinois won the first meeting.
Mm-hmm. It was,
I like Illinois to win again.
Mm-hmm.
I like Indiana at Assembly Hall in this one.
I
don't expect Trent Frazier to step up like he did last game.
Is it Hoosiers? I think I'm... Yep.
Feeling Hoosiers?
I'm feeling Hoosiers.
No chance Illinois loses this game.
No chance.
I'd say, wow.
A firm and assertive statement to make.
Indiana.
Stamp of approval right there.
They missed their most recent game. They haven't played in like a week due to COVID issues, I think, in Michigan's program.
I think their legs are rested up pretty good.
Yeah, fresh legs.
See, I don't think
Derek
that helps.
After an off season.
I don't think that helps, to be honest. I don't think long pauses
help.
Yeah,
it doesn't. I mean, I agree with that, though.
I was going to be way too much. I am so confident in Illinois in this one.
Okay.
Just like throw it out there.
Okay.
I mean, you probably can be. Illinois is a damn better team, but.
And then Pac-12 action.
Hashtag
USC Pac-tion. Taking on Stanford. Man, two teams that are probably in the tournament as of right now.
But very bubbly.
But are
Stanford
close
is,
to the bubble.
Stanford
Stanford's
out.
Very bubbly.
I think they're
USC's
out.
USC's
right
probably in right now.
Yep.
USC's probably in. Stanford is
yeah,
out.
Yeah, this
would
be a pretty good game, actually. I like Stanford in this one just because they're at home. They also picked up a win against. Arizona about a week ago. Yep.
I like Stanford in this game as well. Who's their best player again?
Oscar Da Silva.
Zaire Williams does not play that much.
Yeah, Oscar Da Silva
is in contention.
He's a fun player to watch.
I think he's in contention for whatever the big man trophy is.
I hope. Oh, I know what you're talking about. What's the name of that?
There's one for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar because that's centers only. That's like Kofi, Garza, those kind of guys.
Yeah.
But there's a forward one too, and Oscar Da Silva is running for that. He's averaging 20 a game, something like that this year. He's a damn good player.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take USC this one, though, the Mobley Bros. Okay.
All right, and then moving on to Wednesday's games, we'll go through these ones pretty quick here. Houston goes on the road to take on East Carolina. Houston's going to dominate this one.
Nothing else to say.
LSU takes on Bama.
Will Bama
score over 100 points again? I don't think so, but I think Bama wins handily.
Will there be three players shooting better than 70% from three for Bama again? We will see.
I would be almost without even knowing what it is, I would say probably bet the over on that game, LSU-Bama.
Yeah.
I would
LSU,
well, slam that over.
Alabama, they play some defense. LSU plays zero defense.
Yeah.
That's true. Virginia Tech taking on Pittsburgh. I think this Pittsburgh team's a little underrated, but I like Virginia Tech.
I like Vitek in this one.
I do too, but I think that this is actually going to be a pretty good game. If Virginia Tech's not shooting the ball well, I think Pitt will win. But I'm going to go with Virginia Tech.
All righty. Louisville taking on Cuse Mode.
Ooh.
At the Carrier Dome.
It's going to be a quick pick for me. I'm taking Cuse Mode.
I like Cuse Mode as well.
See, I don't know. I don't hate Louisville as much as you guys do. I really don't.
I don't even hate Louisville. I honestly, I know I'm going to sound like Luke here, but I think Cuse Mode's a little underrated.
I don't know. Their defense has been pretty problematic for them this year, so I'm going to go with Louisville.
The zone ain't working.
Fair. What else we got? Villanova taking on the Johnnies. Possible trap game for Nova. I'm being dead serious here. I think Nova's going to win, but I think the Johnnies are going to keep it close. I think the Johnnies keep
Alex,
it close.
Alex, why don't you just go out there? Why don't you put yourself out there, assert your dominance as a
man
over us, and pick the Johnnies?
I'm not going to pick the Johnnies. I think it's a trap game, but Classic. Nova's going to Classic get through it.
That's not what a trap game is. A trap game is the other team wins.
Not necessarily.
So it's a potential. There's potential for a
potential
trap game to build up.
It's a potential trap game for Nova. All
right, fair.
You just got to watch out for Posh. He's dangerous.
He's dangerous.
Yes. Very, very, very dangerous. Watch out for him.
All right. Virginia going on the road to take on NC State. I like Virginia in this one.
Me too.
Yeah.
As much as I hate to say it.
And then
you really hate Virginia.
Really hate
on like
Virginia.
A spiritual Why? Level. Like
I just hate Virginia.
I think it's you hate Kihei Clark.
I think that's the main reason. Okay,
no.
I hate Kihei Clark too.
He sucks.
Why?
He's just irritating.
He's like, if I played college basketball, I'd be Kihei Clark.
Maybe that's why I hate Kihei Clark.
Why? Because you hate
shots fired.
Because I'm too good.
No, I hate him when you're on my team. No offense. No disrespect.
Okay.
No disrespect.
And then last game of Wednesday night, Georgetown goes on the road to take on Creighton. I like Creighton in this one.
Georgetown's a
probably,
bad
but
team.
Creighton's going to win by like 5 points because that's just what they do.
Yep, they're going to win by five because even though Georgetown is a god awful team.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the end of Wednesday's games.
Yeah, make sure to stay tuned on our Twitter for our
parlays
that we're going to create. I'm looking forward to that because I think with all four of our minds put together.
We can get some good.
We can give you guys some nice picks. Hopefully, win you some money. Obviously, always bet responsibly. And until next time, this is Made in March.